You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to Banzai Retro Club. We are back for another episode of 80s Mixtape Auto Reverse, and we are doing 1986 in New Wave. So we're going to have a lot of fun and talk about some great New Wave albums from 1986. And we have with us again is Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Scott.
And Suzanne. Hi, Suzanne.
Hey there. Hi.
Welcome back.
In the 80s.
Yeah. I'm so glad to be back here on Banzai Retro Club.
Banzai Retro Club, yes.
Yes, it is.
B-A-N-Z-A-I.
B-A-N-Z-A-I Retro yes. Club.
You cheering.
Yeah. Oh, I can add that in. I have cheering.
Yeah, sure.
I happen to have cheering in my recording. So, anyway.
Yay! Ah,
1986. Sorry. 1986 was an awesome year. Year I graduated high school. So, you know, 85 into 86 was my senior year. Had a lot of great, great memories of mostly heavy metal music, but we are talking about New Wave.
Great compilation tape. Like breaking up is hard to do and takes ages longer than it might seem. You got to kick it off with a killer to grab attention. Then you got to take it up a notch. But you don't want to blow your wad, so then you got to cool it off a notch. There are a lot of rules.
12 albums, 1 cent. Find our ad in Sunday's paper, take it to your mailbox. You'll get a lot more music. You'll get a lot more life. Look in your Sunday paper.
Welcome, listener. For those about to rock, we salute you. This is our podcast dedicated to exploring and talking about the greatness that was the music of the best decade. If you're ready for the best in retro music topics on the planet, we present for your enjoyment 80s Mixtape Auto Reverse.
I'm going to be honest on the right up front. I was really struggling to find some specific albums to pick because I saw a lot of stuff that was like I knew one or two songs from that artist for 86.
Wow, had the exact same problem.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was that kind of year because people were going strong now and coming out with their third, fourth, you know, fifth album. And, you know, maybe the great big album that really got them there happened a year or two before. So,
right.
It's that kind of year.
Right. Like Tears for Fears, Simple Minds and stuff. They didn't have anything in this year in 86, which is, I thought they did, but, apparently I think 87 is going to be a little bit back, like a bounce back. To a lot of these bands that we were talking about the last few years. So I was struggling with one of the – I did a search on New Wave of 86, and one of the albums that came up for me, I was questioning whether it's considered New Wave or just a continuation of classic rock, I guess.
Mm.
Don't say ZZ Top.
No, it's not ZZ Top.
No, ZZ Top. We already discounted ZZ Top.
Yeah, we already. Yeah, they already. They're out of the mix. So if that's your pick, you may have to go back to the well.
No, but I'm going to go ahead and go first this time. I haven't gone first in a while. You guys, given you guys the opportunity to take my albums before, but I think I have to take this one. And it is So by Peter Gabriel. Now, Peter Gabriel comes from a band, Fleetwood Mac, which is really kind of, oh, I'm sorry.
Peter Gabriel's from Genesis.
Genesis, I'm sorry. No, I'm thinking Fleetwood Mac for a second. No, it's Genesis. I'm sorry. Peter Gabriel comes from Genesis. Now, Genesis, I never really considered like a new wave. Phil Collins is awesome. Genesis is awesome. But I would never have put them into the new wave category. And for some reason, Peter Gabriel's So came up as a new wave album. Now, it's got some amazing songs on it, very MTV heavy rotation MTV with Sledgehammer and the one with Kate Bush, which is I think kind of what makes me bring this into new wave is Kate Bush's presence in that song. Which is what's the name of the song? I can totally hear
Don't
it in my head
up.
Right now. Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Because you have friends, yeah. Have you watched that video?
Well, I think I remember the video. A lot of just hugging between the two of them a wind machine blowing on them.
It's a very strange video. They're just on this like rotating platform and they're just holding each other.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole video is that.
I think it was a little out of the ordinary to just do like one long take like that. You know, everything was very lots of colors and flashing and stuff. So
yeah, so
it was really nice. It's kind of touching.
Okay, so would you qualify Peter Gabriel as new wave? Because I have a backup. I have a backup album.
Yeah.
If you guys both say Peter Gabriel's not really new wave. I absolutely
do consider Peter Gabriel new wave. I consider him kind of maybe like a founding type of new wave father out there in a certain way. And it's true, they did. I mean, Genesis, I don't consider new wave. And like you're saying with Phil Collins, I don't consider him new wave either. He was more like kind of a pop star.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Peter Gabriel, I think, was a little bit more like on the experimental side and out there looking for new talent. And he kind of, I think, nurtured Kate Bush and helped her, I think there were a couple of other people out there. But, you kind of bolstered her career, which is probably part of the reason why she's on this album.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, things like some of his earlier songs, like Games Without Frontiers and Salisbury Hill and stuff, I think they're definitely always considered new wave songs.
Hmm.
And this album, I'll be honest with you, this was going to be my pick too.
Really?
Because, yeah, yeah, I would have
thought. This is actually my backup pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if somebody would have taken my primary album, then this is what I would have went to. So it had to be new wave if I was going to pick it, right?
Well,
I don't know, Mr. ZZ Top.
But no, I mean, I get the reason why you're asking is because I think that he was you had way more stuff coming out from him. He was a bit more commercial and accessible because of the iconic videos that he was doing in MTV and then also using his song for the soundtrack. Then you know that Peter Gabriel was everywhere, and I think New Wave kind of had this thought process of, being a little bit more edgy, and I don't want to use the word sellout, but that's not, it's kind of like not as commercial. And Peter Gabriel was definitely a talent that was just everybody put out there and liked to listen to. So to me, it's Yeah, I definitely consider him new wave because it felt experimental, but it was definitely something that was accessible to a lot of us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, just considering the MTV presence that he had with the videos.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Yeah, those were those were big time. Were they big?
Yeah. Big Time and Sledgehammer were awesome out of this.
Yeah, it's true. Sledgehammer was an amazing video. That's like something. I mean, like if you look at it now and how that, you know, what they do with videos now. I mean, I guess maybe, you know, some you can't really compare. But at the time, it was a lot of fun. It was cute. It was like if you gave like a, it was kind of like a student film almost. Like just it was cute. It was fun to watch. And he did, in addition though to being so heavy on MTV, I think he did have like kind of an edgier undertone with some of the other things that he'd done though. So it wasn't all MTV, you know, video and claymation. But yeah, In Your Eyes and Red Rain I thought were really powerful, compelling ballads, you know, power new wave ballads that, and if you look at it, it's true that there's almost every song. There's a ton of songs on here that everybody knows that are still being used in movies and soundtracks and such. So I think it counts.
Very cool.
Significantly.
I'm just wondering, would everybody know In Your Eyes that well if it wasn't in Say Anything?
It was also in, it was recently in, was it in The Fault in Our Stars? I know there's a line, and it was in the trailer, where she said something like, life would be so much easier if everything could just be solved by a Peter Gabriel song. And maybe that was a throwback to Say Anything,
that's
which
awesome.
I didn't see for years and years later. But I think that underneath it, they either played In Your Eyes or Red Rain.
Hmm.
And that's, you know, that's a whole new generation of kids then who are listening to that and saying this is very cool. So works for me.
Well, I always like Red Rain, but I think being of the MTV generation, Sledgehammer and Big Time, just because their videos, like what we were talking about, is those were monumental as far as music videos were happening, especially in 86. You know, MTV had been around for a few years now. Things were really just everything was music video oriented, and it's such a shame that we got away from that. Because it was so fun.
That.
You know, like a few years later, 4 or 5 years later, it's gone. MTV doesn't even play music videos anymore. And that is just, it's heartbreaking. Anyway,
it's wrong on so many levels.
It really is. Seriously. Yeah. Why do they even call it MTV anymore? They should just shut it down and call it, you know, we're going to watch people do weird shit. Because we're going to call it, I don't know, what, real life.
RTV, TV.
Reality TV, and that's where they went with it, and it lost everything. It lost everything. Our generation knows what it's like to wait for that new video to come out, especially, like, if we go back and talk about Thriller. Like, a lot of people I know where they were when they saw Thriller debut as like a mini movie. And Peter Gabriel with Sledgehammer and Big Time, those were amazing videos and had you sucked in going, wow, this is really creative and new and interesting, versus just I'm not to take away anything from like the concert footage videos that they had, you know, like Pat Benatar and Billy Squire and whatnot. They all had these videos that you knew, but they were you know, faux concert footage videos. Where, and then like when we were talking about a couple of years within the last 2 years, 84, 85, where Duran Duran and and Depeche Mode started taking new strides and really creating storylines in videos. And this is where Peter Gabriel took it to another level again. And I think this is a great album. There's so many songs on this album that are really good. I'm sorry, Suzanne, for taking your pick, but I'm sure there are other picks that you have that are lined up that are going to be really, really good, too.
A few. Yeah. I'll take the one that I thought you were going to say. Let's put it that way.
Really? Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear what you think I was going to pick. Okay. So let's move on to your pick, then. Dave,
question was what's the hidden gem on this one?
What's the hidden gem? All right, let me look at the lineup again.
Or is there a hidden gem, or we just go with, like, you know, Big Time or Sledgehammer?
I don't know. There's there's only two songs on there that I don't recognize. That Voice Again.
I might have said Don't Give Up as being the hidden gem. I don't know that that was, you know, a big hit or anything.
Right.
And everything else, everybody just knew. There's only two, same thing. There's only a couple of songs on here that I wouldn't, like, I'm wondering which ones they were. I'm trying to remember what they sounded like, which I didn't know. So it doesn't give you a lot to to choose from gem-wise.
Right, right. Like the hidden gems. I got to go with Don't Give Up. That, I think the duet with Kate Bush.
Yeah.
She's like the queen of new wave,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. I mean, would you back that up?
I loved Kate Bush. Okay. I loved Kate. I thought she was so creative.
Yes.
And so cool. And she could dance, and she could, you know, she was kind of like this contortionist on screen. And she was just this beautiful little, you know, petite woman. And her voice is just gorgeous.
Her vocal range is amazing.
Oh, really. Yeah.
I mentioned you guys the other podcast with Oliver Rockside Oliver Rockside did a show on Kate Bush where he, you know, focused just on her, and he brought up some great songs that I'm like, holy crap, she was really talented.
Yeah.
And you forget about some of that stuff sometimes. So yeah, I think we're going to go with that one as far as the hidden gem on that one.
Cool.
Don't Give Up. Yeah, it's a very very low, slow kind of is deep and a little dark at times, but also uplifting at the same time. So, anyway, okay. We'll go with that as the track.
So strong. drove the night toward my home, the place that I was born, on the lakeside. As daylight broke, I saw the earth, the trees had burned down to the ground.
So we're gonna bring it back around to Suzanne.
Okay.
What's gonna be
back
your?
To
what's gonna be your pick?
Okay.
Because I'm dying to know what you were gonna, what you thought I was gonna pick.
I thought you were gonna pick the Pet Shop Boys.
Do 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 do. West End Girls, baby. You knew it. It was.
I thought you were gonna choose the Pet Shop Boys, which, and I'm not making fun of that choice whatsoever. I think if I had to pick another iconic album from this year, and between you and I, this year, okay, this was the year that I graduated from college. Mm-hmm. And as Dave and I were talking about before, I came home from London, that's the summer before. And then, you know, my senior year was significantly different than the rest of the time that I spent at college. I wasn't in the dorms anymore. You're kind of being, you know, shoved out the door off campus, and you know, you were kind of facing the big transition, and the albums that I was listening to, I think, all came out like at the end of 1985. I was listening to Kate Bush's Hounds of Love. Mm-hmm. And to Suzanne Vega's debut album, which was amazing. We didn't even talk about it in the last podcast, shame on me, but
We only have so much time in each.
I know, that's the thing. You kind of have to, especially since there were four of us talking, you had to give each other a little time to talk.
Yep.
But when I think of 86, I think of those albums. And let's see. So the Pet Shop Boys, though, when West End Girls came out, that was kind of a big sensation.
Kind of?
Yeah. It was quite huge. And then there was a couple of follow-ups that came, like, you know, what was it? You've got the looks, I've got the something, let's make lots of money. Yeah. I forget what exactly the lyrics were.
You've got the brawn, I've got the brain, let's make lots of money.
So, something like that.
I know that one. I know that one very well.
And that was a fun one too. And like, I don't know, Suburbia is sounding, the title is sounding kind of familiar, although it's not coming back to me. But
you'd know it if you heard it. And
yeah, I think so, yeah.
Those two songs, though, Let's Make Lots of Money and West End Girls, were freaking gigantic in this year. Like,
they were
explosive, and everybody knew it, and there was no getting around. There's no way you could not have heard these songs. So they're all over the place.
Took over MTV too. Yeah,
not only on MTV, but on local radio and, you know, whatever you listen to, it was there. So I mean, West End Girls, really, it ranks up there with Iran from Flock of Seagulls as far as like 80s iconic songs, or Tears for Fears, you know, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. It's right up there with it.
I might have to agree. And it was another one of those where it was just so English. Like, you could hear their accent in every single word that they said.
Yes.
And, you know, they had the, and it was about England. It was about the, you know, the West End, and they're, you know, they're like walking through the streets, and their big blazers and their cool hair. And, you know, I related pretty heavily because I had just lived there. Like I said, and I'd come back and I was like, yes, I know where that is.
Sometimes you're better off dead. Gun in your hands, mm-hmm. pointing at your head. It's kind of a dark song too, if you think about it. But yeah, it's great.
I guess
it is.
I think it was kind of supposed to be like a Romeo and Juliet kind of dynamic going on.
I get that. I can see that.
And I don't know. Did you see who are they? Flight of the Conchords? Where they're like kind of a fake duet.
Yeah, yeah, I remember. I watched.
They were
I watched a little bit of that show. Those,
yeah, they did a nice takeoff on this song.
Really?
It's like every episode they kind of do a different genre of music and they will do their own version. Yeah, you should. There's an episode where they do a take on West End Girls.
I might have to go back and look at that show. That was an MTV that was an MTV production, right? Like Beavis and Butthead?
I guess I didn't see it till years later. I started streaming it on what it was on Netflix or Prime Video or something. But it is really, really funny.
Right,
and
I'm
it is very music oriented. So you should watch it. But in any case.
Dave, your take on Pet Shop Boys?
I'm drowning here. All I got is West End Girls. That's the only song that's coming to mind, like when you say Pet Shop Boys. I feel like I should know opportunities. Let's make lots of money, but it's not even coming to me right now. So yeah, I've got nothing.
You would probably know it if you heard it.
Yeah.
You would
it
definitely
was a cute
know.
Little follow up.
You've got Let's Make Lots of Money is definitely something you would recognize.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. You would know it. Yeah.
And you know, there's probably many songs like that where it's like you start hearing it and you go, oh, okay, I know this song.
That one.
But
yeah.
That's and you just didn't know the name of it and you didn't know who sung it. And
right.
You know, I'm sure that's what this is. But yeah, I mean, Pet Shop Boys, yeah. When I pulled up the track listing for this album, West End Girls was the one that I was like, okay, I know that one song. And that was all over the place. It was very iconic for, you know, that time period to hear that song because they played it way so much, but it was a great song. So I know why it was played.
I love this song. So, okay. Well, I will have to ask Suzanne now, what is the hidden gem? Do you have one?
I don't know if I could pick a hidden gem because I didn't have the album itself. Like I said, that year I was kind of hanging on to the albums from the year before. And, you know, Brian Ferry's Slave to Love, that was another good one from the year before that. Those are the albums that I played that year. So I'm not sure. It's like either it was a great big hit or, maybe Suburbia, I guess, if I'm remembering correctly, I guess is, like the undercurrent, like the more underground hit, I guess. So, but I'm not quite as familiar with the rest of the album as I am with these other two songs. Which, like I said, were just everywhere.
I know I've heard more songs from this album because some of the names look familiar. I know Suburbia. A couple other. I Want a Lover, maybe, possibly. I might know that one, but I'll have to look it up. We'll pull them up and re-listen to some of this stuff. But it's a great pick for 1986. It was. Just those two songs alone, West End Girls and Opportunities.
Yeah.
Is
they were big.
It was it was very, very heavy influence on where New Wave was going at the time.
Yeah, and huge synthesizer songs is the thing. So
huge. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Everything you know that's what I love about I do love the synth about all of this New Wave stuff.
Messing around with jerks. My car is parked outside. I'm afraid it doesn't work. I'm looking for a partner, someone who gets things fixed. Ask yourself this question: do you want to be rich? I've got the brains, you've got the looks. Let's make lots of money. You've got the brawn, I've got the brain.
You can tell I'm educated, I studied at the Sorbonne. Doctored in mathematics, I could have been a don. I can program a computer, choose the perfect time. If you've got the information, I've got the crime. Oh, there's a lot of opportunities. If you know when to take them, you know. There's a lot of opportunities. If there aren't, you can make them.
So much with synth. Now, a little bit about myself. I'm not a musician, okay? I don't know anything about music. People say, oh, yeah, this is a 4-4 beat. I have no idea what the hell they're talking about, okay? I listen to a lot of music podcasts outside of this, and they're like, well, you know, the bass is driving the rhythm, but the vocals are driving the beat. I'm like, okay. I just like how it sounds in my ears and stuff. So I'm, and it makes my either my foot tap or makes me get up and move around. I don't know anything about how music is structured or what all that comes together. I just know what I like.
Well, don't sell yourself short, man. You understand the difference between crunchy and creamy.
And Pat Benatar is crunchy. All right.
Not as crunchy as Joan, but okay.
No, but you know what? There's not a lot of crunchy stuff on in New Wave. It's not crunchy. It's mostly creamy. It's mostly creamy and very sensitive, and unless you start getting into New Order. New Order has some crunchiness. anyway, let's move on. I don't know where I was going with that.
Just leave that kind of hanging out there.
So
New Order, crunchy, done.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So Dave. do you have a pick?
I do have a pick. Now, I want to premise this that not every album that we're going to talk about is one of these things that we end up being a big fan of the whole album.
Okay, we're not gushing about the album. That's cool. I get it.
Right. So what had happened was this last Friday, do you guys feel that when you're in a certain frame of mind that, you know, music can, if you're not in the right frame of mind, some songs just don't connect with you?
Yes.
So, I mean, it's very personal, right?
Yeah, very personal. Sure. Music is very personal.
Right. So, in this particular case, on this past Friday, I realized, I'm like, you know, we're going to be doing this 1986 New Wave talk, and I should probably listen to a full album, because much like the comment you made where I'm like, I know a few songs that have become popular, and what I'm going to do is I want to listen to the whole album so that I can, you know, understand the hidden gem and understand, you know, what it is, you know, that they contributed for the whole album and not just the songs that got played a lot. Mm-hmm. So the two albums that I had in my brain, one was the one that you already talked about, which is Peter Gabriel's So. So the other one that I had that I decided that I wanted to listen to, that I want to say that I'm not that big of a fan of the whole album. It didn't get good until about midway through the album. The first few songs, in my mind, weren't good at all.
Wow.
So, okay. I'm talking about the self-titled Crowded House album.
Hmm.
So, songs, where am I at? Songs 1 through 3,
mm-hmm.
Which are Mean to Me, Nowhere to Live, Know We're Getting Somewhere. For some reason, I had left work on Friday. I was listening to it on my commute home, and I think maybe I just wasn't in the frame of mind where it was those songs did anything for me. So I didn't like them at all. But I listened to them because I wanted to go, you know, I wanted to be able to contribute something here and say, you know, here's a hidden gem in this. And I had gotten so afraid that as I listened to this album, that all I would be talking about was the ones that got all the airplay. And that being Don't Dream It's Over and Something So Strong.
Mm-hmm.
Something So Strong, love that song. I can never get tired of hearing Something So Strong. Don't Dream It's Over is a bit of a slow-paced song, of course. But the whole time, I'm like, I really need something, you know, that's grabbing me. And it didn't get until Hole in the River, where it was song number 7, where I kind of thought, okay, this is getting better. And it wasn't great, but it was getting better.
Mm-hmm.
But then suddenly I got to Can't Carry On, and I love that song. So to me, that's the hidden gem. Can't Carry On. I just really love that song out of that album. The other two that were really solid and really good were I Walk Away and Tombstone. But like I said, the ones that everybody knows is Don't Dream It's Over and Something So Strong. But if I had to pick one, the three songs to go listen to outside of that were Can't Carry On, I Walk Away, Tombstone. And I wanted to like the whole album, but maybe it was my frame of mind leaving work on Friday. And it wasn't that like I had a bad day on Friday. It was just maybe I just wanted to get through traffic and I just wanted to get home. And maybe that didn't help.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at. Okay. Does all that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Listen to this album? Do you have this album? Do you feel differently about it? And I wouldn't be offended if you did.
I wasn't a huge fan or anything. Of course you heard, like you said, the songs that you mentioned were on the radio a lot. But I almost feel like this album and the sound of this band was more like pulling toward what the 90s were going to sound like. To me, this doesn't feel like a, you know, obviously it came out, it was, you know, debuted there in the 80s, it, you know, it's a 1986 album. But to me, it was like a precursor of what, you know, like Pearl Jam and Counting Crows, maybe, you know, we're going to lead toward that kind of a band as opposed to these heavy synthesizer new wave bands from, the, you know, bringing in that very English kind of feel to them. Now, and look, I'm kind of, you know, taking a little look now at their history, and it looks like, I know we've mentioned Split Enz had a couple of cool songs in that,
yeah,
the 80s that were very new wave.
Yeah, definitely.
And it seems like the guys from Split, a couple of guys split off from Split Enz, speaking of which, and formed this band, which is kind of cool. So I guess they have roots here in 80s music, but to me, this is more like when they started, the 90s started to kind of spill into the end of the decade here, and we saw what was going to be the next era of music. So that's kind of my take on Crowded House.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't have a lot to say about this other than I think Don't Dream It's Over might have been on one of the soundtracks of like our favorite 80s movies. It just, it feels like it. I could be wrong.
No,
I'd have to look back and see it, but it has that feel of being part of the 80s movies of like the John Hughes era.
Yeah, right. Maybe kind of the later 80s. Well, obviously.
Yeah. Mid to late. Yeah.
I remember hearing it, and there was an adaption, I think, of Stephen. You know, until I mentioned I was a kind of a Stephen King fan. There was a book called The Stand.
Oh no! Don't get started on The Stand. That is my all-time favorite book. Really?
Oh really?
Wasn't there a movie
version around this time, and that song was in it?
It might have been.
I think so. I think Molly Ringwald was even in the movie.
Yeah, she was.
Movie.
She was in it, and so was Gary Sinise.
They
were. It was a good movie. However, it was like broken up into, I think it was a 10-part miniseries. Because if you look at the book,
goes on forever.
1,100 pages. I read it twice. Actually, it's my favorite all-time Stephen King book. I know The Shining is yours, but you and I need to have a conversation about Stephen King.
Yeah.
Sometime. Okay. I think we should, we could do a podcast episode on Stephen King. Cause he's one of my all time favorite authors and I've read a lot of his stuff. So anyway, but
and
there's,
this song though was included in two movies.
Okay.
The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Don't know that one at
all. No, that's a new movie. Yeah.
In Adventureland.
Oh, Adventureland. I watched that.
Right. I think Adventureland was set in the 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2009.
But it was the
summer of 87.
Timeline. The timeline was 87.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Makes sense.
Okay. It doesn't say that it was in The Stand. I know I remember Molly Ringwald and somebody dancing to that song in The Stand. But it might not be considered a movie. So you know, you're right. It was like a TV.
It was a TV miniseries.
TV special. Yeah. Okay. But in any case, that's what I remember. I do remember it as a soundtrack type of thing.
Yeah.
But
it could go on many soundtracks of the 80s. It's one of those sounds, you know, it's got either Pretty in Pink written on it or 16 Candles. It would just fall right into one of those movies, even maybe Ferris Bueller. But it would fit into those. So good pick though. Overall, you know, even though there's a, like you said, there's a few songs on there that maybe you didn't catch right away.
Right. But
there's a couple that are very 80s centric and what we remember from that, from 86.
Right.
Yeah. Is strong stuff. So, anyway.
Okay.
So we all got our three picks. We all got our picks in. Do we have any honorable mentions? because this is where my list could go on and on and on.
Yeah, well, there's a few songs out there that are definitely worth mentioning, I think. New Order's Bizarre Love Triangle.
Yes.
Is a really cool song.
Yep.
That, once again, when you play it, you immediately think, 80s, bing, 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 you know, this is the sound.
Yep.
This is what we all dance to. Mm-hmm.
80s dance club stuff. Absolutely.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and that was, I know that was one that our friend Chris Warren would love for us to mention. So that mm-hmm. that's a good song. And see, this is where a lot of those, I was looking at a lot of the names of the groups and stuff. I'm like going, okay, I know these people, or I know who they are. And I look at the album, I'm going, okay, I know that one song. I know that one song. I know that one song. And they're almost like in 86, there's a lot of one hits in 86. Not necessarily one hit wonders for the span of the 80s, but one hits for that year.
Yeah.
And there's a lot.
That's true. That's the way to describe the year.
Like, there's a lot.
Everybody had an album. Everybody had a big hit. But nobody had, like, their big breakthrough album that year. Everybody had already done that in the 3 years before.
So, Suzanne, let me throw a name out to you. Screedy Pallitti.
I love Screedy Pallitti. Oh, my God. Did Cupid and Psyche come out in 1986? Yeah, that's right, because I bought that when I was overseas. Screedy Pallitti, that was a beautiful album.
So beautiful. I don't know the album. I know there's one song in there that I know. That I remember from that time, but it's that's the example that I want to give to explain a lot of the albums that I saw that were released in 1986. Like, there's so many, like, I think it might have been 85. Husker Du was a band that, like, or like 86, Fishbone came out with their first album, which was totally ska, but it falls into that new wave thing. I think it was their first album, could have been their second, but stuff like that where you have these little nuggets of new wave in 86.
Well, Cupid and Psyche was very popular in England when I was there. Like, everybody knew Screedy Pallitti in England.
Yeah.
When I came back, people were only just starting to listen to one song, and I think that album was 1985. I don't know, unless maybe came out in the U.S. in 1986.
I could be wrong. I thought I saw it in 86. It was Greedy Pallitti. But there's a bunch of other bands like that have that same. Oh, it's got such a great new wave sound to it for the mid 80s.
And that was a very synthesizer heavy, but yet the vocals had this very unique ethereal kind of affected feeling to it that wasn't really it made them stand apart, I think, from a lot of the other synthesizer bands. So
yeah,
who's that? It's neat.
Well, I mean, you've got other people like Pill or Public Image Limited, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was a cool song. That one screamy thing he did.
Bands Rise? Like that, or even Culture Club, had an album out that year. And that, well, I don't know that one that well. I don't know those songs at all, actually, Culture Club. When did they get popular? Surprise.
Earlier. Yeah.
But there's just so many bands that had, like, that one song on an album that you heard over and over again.
You mean, like, Everybody Have Fun Tonight? Everybody Wang Chung Tonight?
He's like Wang Chung. Yeah, actually, I looked at that one
as
one
of.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's great. There's a lot of them this year, or like Glass Tiger. You guys were listening to Glass Tiger earlier when the show.
Well, is Glass Tiger new wave?
I would put them in that category.
Okay.
Although,
I didn't think they would be.
They're Canadian.
Hmm. I don't know. They're my kind of borderline.
What? Like, what would you qualify them as, then? Pop?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
most
guess.
Most definitely.
I guess pop. I don't know. I'm looking at things that are describing them as new waves. I guess maybe.
Okay. So.
And I did think when I heard it playing in the background, I thought it was Kaja Goo Goo. So I guess, you know.
You did say that, yes.
I did. I thought it was Kaja Goo Goo. But in any case. All right. So maybe they're kind of borderline new wave.
One of the albums that I thought you were going to pick, Suzanne, was The Queen Is Dead by The Smiths.
There's a couple of real cool songs on there, but I'll tell you, I have become more familiar with The Smiths since, post 80s, read more recently than I was at the time.
Okay.
So I didn't really feel like that would be an authentic choice for me because I didn't really listen to it. But, you know, like you heard the songs, different places that you went, mostly you heard How Soon Is Now, which is one of the coolest songs ever. But there was one song called Big Mouth Strikes Again, which the lyrics are freaking hysterical. And it's a really cool song. But like I said, it's not an album that I listened to at the time, so I can't really advocate. You know, I feel like I'm a poser if I advocate that one because I wasn't familiar enough with it. But yeah, they did some really cool stuff, The Smiths, and they were pretty, they were pretty hardcore.
Yeah, you're not a poser by any means.
Okay, so, thank you.
are we considering Bangles new wave?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit. Like they were very pop oriented very 80s. Like when you think of the 80s, you think of the Bangles. But I guess if you can call the Go-Go's new wave, the Bangles were kind of along the same lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess I'd vote for them in certain ways.
Yeah, if they're included in that, I mean, their album came out that's called Different Light, and it had Manic Monday on it, Walk Like an Egyptian, If She Knew What She Wants. I mean, all great songs. And, of course, they got so much airplay.
Personally, I would lean them. I would push them more towards pop.
Yeah, they were very.
That's popular. Almost what I was thinking too.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say edgy. I wouldn't say they were edgy, but they were out there, and you have to give it to them being a girl band too, though. That you know,
love
that.
I love that. I love the girl bands. I think there's so many of them that are underrated and overlooked. It's unfortunate. So, yeah, I agree. As a girl band, they had a lot of talent. I mean, I can't play an instrument for Jack. And most of them, they make me look like an idiot because I can't play anything. But I really respect them as musicians. I think most of them are really good.
Well, they're no Milli Vanilli. Girl, you know it's true.
Oh, now they were real posers talking about.
Yeah, if you want to mention posers, that's the one, yeah.
Something we say for 1989?
Okay. I had some friends, these brothers, and I won't mention names, but they had similar suits to Milli Vanilli.
Nice.
We would go out every once in a while, and we'd go to the clubs, and it seemed, it was cool at the time. But I remember
that's what you need at your 80s party, right there.
A Milli Vanilli act.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's a great Halloween costume. Go as Milli Vanilli.
Yes, it would.
They did a cute little dance, like they were all. They could move, those boys. They looked good.
So, another song or another album that I was out there that at the time it was Revenge by the Eurythmics. Or, I'm sorry, okay. Not the Eurythmics. It's just Eurythmics. It's okay. kind of like the Eagles. They're not really the Eagles, they're Eagles.
Okay.
In case you didn't know. There's no the on the front of their name.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Eurythmics are the same way. They don't have the Eurythmics. But this one has Missionary Man on it. Great song.
That was a good song, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like I was saying, there's so many of these albums out there from 1986 that have like one song or two songs that everybody knows from that year. It was a sign of the times for sure that there was so much changing and growing, and people were trying to figure out where music was really going. And I think that's why there were so many just one hits for that year. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm overthinking it, but
yeah, actually I'm going back to our previous show, and I remember we did a one hit wonder show.
Oh, dude, that was a fun show.
And Tim brought up, I think it was Tim who brought up XTC, and I just looked it up, that their album Skylarking had the song that he was talking about that mm-hmm. I really loved, which is called Dear God.
I thought you were going to pick that album, Dave. Actually, that was the album that you were going to pick. Yeah. Initially, yeah.
And that's the song I know. I would have to go back and listen to this, and maybe I will now. Maybe I'll have a better experience than I did with the Crowded House album.
I love XTC, but I'm not that familiar with this album. I'm more familiar with later XTC albums.
Yeah.
But I do know that song, Dear God, that's a cool song.
It is a good song.
It is.
Kind of morose, almost.
Now, if we were on my previous series of shows, I would be picking Master of Puppets right about now.
Was that 86?
86 also. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I was. That's like where I... That's where my group of people, and that's where I was that heavy metal and hard rock stuff. So that's why this year was like really perplexing me. I'm like going, okay, what do I know? What is really grabbing me? And Peter Gabriel was the one that's where I finally ended up.
I think he wins.
So there's a lot of stuff that you'll see as we go forward the next couple of years. I'm really going to struggle because I was really starting to get into the hard rock and heavy metal scene. So bear with me as we go forward into 87, 88, 89. I may not have the best picks as far as new wave goes. So.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, do you guys have any more honorable mentions or anything else you want to talk about? Want to wrap it up?
I guess we could wrap. Susie and the Banshees had Cities in Dust,
okay,
which is a pretty cool song. And I think Depeche Mode had A Question of Lust, which is one of my favorites. But once again, like I don't know that I would have gone out and bought and listened to a full Susie and the Banshees album. That might have been like a little bit too edgy for me. You know, I wanted stuff I could dance to more. But that was a really cool song. And, I think it kind of lives in infamy out there.
Yeah, I was looking at some others, like True Stories by Talking Heads. It's got like one song that I know on it. Wang Chung. It's a good one.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Everybody have fun tonight.
Yep.
Now, what exactly do you do when you're Wang Chunging? Wanging Chunging?
No.
Is that a verb?
I used to dance.
It is now.
Is it a verb to wang?
As of 86, it was. Everybody Wang Chung tonight. Uh-huh. You figure out what that means.
Once again, though,
when you think 80s, you think everybody that's Wang Chung.
Absolutely. Yes. That's one of the songs that pops into your head. Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chung tonight. Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chung tonight. Everybody have fun. Absolutely.
If You Leave, OMD came out.
Oh, it's a good one.
That was a big song, yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I thought that was earlier in the decade. Like, it would have been part of the Valley Girl soundtrack or something.
No, maybe. Well, maybe there were different OMD songs at that time.
I do like OMD. They have quite a few songs out there that are really good. Oh, Howard Jones, One to One.
Love Howard Jones. Love Howard Jones.
Definitely.
But once again, I think one of his earlier albums was probably more full of recognizable songs.
Right on. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff out there. Anyway, so we'll wrap this one up. 1986 New Wave albums. We had a lot of fun talking about some great albums from this year again. Let's do social media credentials. How about you, Suzanne? You want to start us off?
Oh, geez.
It's Suze Matabone, M-A-T-T-A-B-O-N-I.
M-A-T-T-A-B-O-N-I, yeah.
I got it now. I got it. Yeah, I don't even have it up in front of me.
You guys have it memorized. SuzanneMatabone.com and at Suze Matabone and Suze Matabone 80s on Instagram. And that should do it. Check it out.
And we are at BonsaiRetroClub.com, and you can, you know, connect to us through that. And our email is McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, BonsaiRetroClub.com, or @BonsaiRetroClub. You can follow, I also have a Twitter, @80sAutoReverse. So I tie everything to Bonsai Retro Club. It's all about the bonsai. Right, Dave?
It is all about the bonsai.
All about the bonsai.
You're more Twitter-pated now, so that's
good. I'm getting better. I got to say, yes, I'm getting better. Like 2 years ago, I was really, really, really Twitter-challenged. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. But I feel like I'm getting a little bit better. So if people see that I'm posting stuff on Twitter out there and I'm screwing things up, please let me know.
How can you screw up Twitter even more than it already is?
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to imagine.
Dave, I just forgot to mention there's one band and album that we forgot to mention.
For 86, let's hear it.
86, Greetings from Timbuktu3.
Timbuktu3.
Was that out in 86?
The future's so bright, right. I gotta wear shades. Yes, it was. 1986.
That's right, because I was graduating. I was graduating college that time, and that was kind of like the graduation song, as far as we were concerned.
Wow. And that's interesting because Dave actually had an interview with these guys.
Yeah, Pat McDonald.
The
songwriter and singer.
Uh-huh.
That's weird. Why are they not considered a new wave though?
They are. I think they are.
It was kind of new wavy.
Totally new wave.
It was fun.
Yeah, when I talked to him, it was so interesting because he had said that the future's so bright, you gotta wear shades, and he's been approached by so many different commercial outlets that wanted to use that song, mm-hmm. you know, because of what they believe the message was. But it was really a dim look at the future. You know, it was kind of like we're all going to die in a Holocaust, you know, kind of, you know, the message behind the song.
It's Cold War. Cold War.
Every single generation thinks they're going to die in some kind of terrible Holocaust.
Right. Yeah, that's what he thought, and at the same time he didn't want to sell out, so he never ever sold the rights to that song to be used in any kind of commercial. So you're never going to hear it without, because he hasn't given permission.
Huh.
Tell him to let it go. It's okay.
Dude, yeah,
take
really.
The money.
Just cash. Yeah, exactly. Cash in.
Take the money.
Cash in.
It's a good song.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean a tangent at the very end of the episode. We all got our credentials in. We're all in. And this suddenly just jumped out at me for some reason. So you guys, as Dave likes to say, be excellent to each other and have a good whatever.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!